This novel and its recording are both copyright by Alessandro Cima and Candlelight Stories, Inc., available at candlelightstories.com. A Candlelight Stories audio production. Pirate Jack by Alessandro Cima. Chapter 1. Stones. Here's how I met the pirates, if you can believe that. And it all started right near home. My father and I lived in a wooden house on the shore of South Cove. From our yard, the cove was a great shining circle of water, surrounded by beaches and trees. The far end opened into the Atlantic Ocean. Every so often, a motorboat puttered from one side of South Cove to the other. It was a mostly quiet place to live. My dad was a boat builder. He made sailboats in the workshop that stood across the yard from our back door. When I wasn't helping him, I was wandering up and down the beach, or rowing our skiff out into the marsh until it was tangled in reeds. There I'd sit and eat a sandwich, pretending to be a sea captain or a marooned pirate. One afternoon, I headed along the beach toward the dunes about a half mile north. They were covered with tall grass. It was taller than me in most places, and it brushed my face as I climbed the highest dune. When I got to the top, I looked over the thicket and could see out along the curved beach all the way past the marsh to a barbed wire fence that ran clear around a big, dusty construction site. Dump trucks drove between pillars. Cement trucks turned their barrels. A worker stood on some rocks holding a jackhammer that barely made a ticking sound from so far away. I'd been down there a few times, sneaking under the fence at night with a flashlight like a soldier on a secret mission. I'd poke around for a while, wondering what the shops and movie theaters would turn out like. When my father drove our truck up the shore road, he would frown at the new buildings and say something about them. "Look at all that rotten work. They're hiding the ocean behind it." My dad was always pointing out stuff like that, because when he saw people building things, he thought they should do it right, and that meant doing it as little as possible. The site was spreading up the beach and shooting long gray piers into the water. Dad was right. They were hiding the ocean behind steel and concrete. I didn't think it would ever spread this way, but it was big enough and ugly enough to hate. Dad said the people of South Cove had stopped caring about the cove and were more interested in business. As I watched the worker break rocks with his jackhammer, I got mad. I felt like there was nothing I or anyone could do to save the cove. I picked up a chunk of driftwood and threw it as far as I could toward the worker on the rocks. It plopped into the marsh below the dunes. Feeling stupid, I swung my arm and swatted the reeds of grass in front of me. Then I turned from the ugly view and stomped through the grass, going downhill into the cool shade of the pine trees. I scuffed my shoes angrily in brown needles as I went deeper into the quiet forest. I'd been through here so many times that I'd worn out a path that circled back to the beach near my house. Every time I went through, I'd pass a little mound of earth with weeds on top. This time I stopped and looked at it for a while. I was so mad at the construction site that I wanted to destroy something. My face got hot. I made tight fists. In three big steps, I was at the mound. I kicked it as hard as I could. My foot broke through the dirt and crumbled stones. I kicked into the pile over and over, breaking apart almost the whole thing. I kneeled and pushed stones away. When they were all gone, I saw nothing but sand, so I started digging. My fingers scraped and scooped until my nails felt like they'd break off. I dug more than a foot down to a black rock. My fingers found the edges and scraped away lots of dirt. Finally, I braced my feet on both sides of the hole and pulled the rock with all my might. It tilted up and fell away with a thump. When I looked into the hole, I saw only more dirt, but I knew something could be buried down there, so I kept digging. I was sweating through my shirt and breathing like a jogger when my fingers hit wood. I brushed the dirt away and saw that the wood was carved. It had to be the top of a box or a treasure chest. "Oh my gosh," I whispered as the pattern on the wood became clear. It was a map of the Caribbean that showed the tip of Florida, the islands, and the old Spanish Main. Carved underneath was, "With these three and the sea, friend, make thy way to a place thou knowest well." I was so excited that I stood up and spun in a circle while jumping up and down. I found a strong branch, snapped the end off to make it sharp, and used it to dig around the wood until I'd exposed the whole top and a black iron lock. "Pirates! Pirates, for sure!" I cried. A stone banged against the lock 23 times broke it. The old hinges creaked and hitched as I pulled the lid up. My mouth fell open at what I saw. 3 corked bottles sat gleaming in the sunlight. Inside each one was a roll of brown paper. I stayed on my knees staring at the bottles and felt the world stop moving. I lifted one bottle out and pulled the cork. There was a hiss and a pop as the ancient air escaped. The roll of paper fell onto the pine needles. I picked it up and slipped the ribbon off. The paper unrolled easily. It was a black ink drawing of a boat floating on tall waves. 10 men were rowing. There was fancy writing that said, "Thou hast in thy hand the untold power of history. Thou art a traveler in time, and so must commit this scroll to the sea if thou wilt find thy way back again." This was more than I had ever imagined in my wildest dreams. This was something old and mysterious and powerful, something so secret it had to be buried here under the pines where no one would ever find it, until now. I rolled the paper, looped its string around, and dropped it inside the bottle. I pushed the cork in until it was snug. I closed the box on the other bottles and piled the stones and dirt on top of it. No one would find my discovery before I came back with a shovel to dig it out. I ran along the beach toward home with my secret bottle. When I reached our pier, I climbed onto the old gray planks and jumped off the other side onto the rocks that protected the beach from the storm waves. My feet carried me over the jagged gray edges to a broad rock, where I often sat with my fishing pole and tackle box. The little blue and white skiff was tied to the end of the pier, gently nudging the piling. It was the first boat my father and I ever built, and it fit the two of us just right. I held the bottle up and looked through it at the sea. I wondered if whoever buried it had meant to come back for it. Maybe it really was pirate treasure. Maybe the pirate had died before he could return to his hiding place. Maybe the scrolls were magic.
A Candlelight Stories audio production.
This novel and its recording are both copyright by Alessandro Cima and Candlelight Stories, Inc., available at candlelightstories.com.